You will have noted from your bulletin that we intend to consider the call to pray for your preacher. And by means of confessional reminder, I invite you to turn to Lord's Day 45. Lord's Day 45. And we'll hear together the answers to the first three questions in this particular Lord's Day. Question 116, why is prayer necessary for Christians, for each one of us? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. Moreover, God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask Him for these gifts and thank Him for them. 117 asks, what belongs to a prayer which pleases God and is heard by Him? First, we must pray from the heart. Call upon the one true God only who has revealed Himself in His Word for all that He has commanded us to pray. Second, we must thoroughly know our need and misery so that we may humble ourselves before God. And third, we must rest on this firm foundation that although we do not deserve it, God will certainly hear our prayer for the sake of Christ our Lord as He has promised in His Word. And what has God commanded us to ask of Him? All the things we need for body and soul, as included in the prayer which Christ our Lord Himself taught us. And there follows the testimony of the Lord's Prayer. And then we want to read once again from Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Our primary focus is on verse 19, but we read this as a unit. Paul is closing his teaching, his call, his encouragement to the church at Ephesus. He does so with a call to pray. Praying at verse 18, at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord willing, in a week's time, a new beginning will commence, a beginning of a new relationship between minister of the word and sacraments and the people of the congregation, between under shepherd and flock, between pastor and parish. I had to smile when I noticed the front cover of your bulletin where it says, Minister Colon, wait for 7 days, Lord willing. And you have been waiting, and the Lord has answered your prayers in sending an underservant of His choosing to be your pastor. And as you begin in what you may trust will be a blessed relationship between pulpit and pew, you undoubtedly understand from your observations in days past that the minister's calling is not an easy one. There are many different pressures. The ministry can be and often is a straining calling. Some times it may be a hardship in the congregation. At other times it may be a disagreement that can be blown out of proportion. Perhaps it is dealing with a particular sin that is within the congregation. And how then to proceed in the pulpit pew relationship? And how can the congregation here, by God's grace, build up a strong relationship? And how will the Lord Jesus use his people here to build his church? And to those questions, this morning we answer with the word prayer. One of the key components, the dominant factors, main ingredients, so to speak, in the pulpit pew relationship is the matter of prayer. Prayer will bind you together. Before our Father's throne, we pour out our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our want, our comforts, and our cares. So as we spend a moment or two together this morning, consider that you have a calling to pray for your preacher, to pray for Brother Zachary Vanderploeg, and also to remember Reverend Ryan Campen in your prayers, and the servants of the Lord who go to and fro to declare the word of the Lord. And what we want to consider together then is that prayer is so necessary in order that words be given to your preacher. And that those words given then, secondly, would be proclaimed boldly. And then in the third place, and so important, that those words would contain the mystery of the gospel. Now, to be sure, there are many considerations that form part of our daily prayers. Not only do we come before our Father's throne to praise him, to bless him, to adore him for who he is and what he has done for us in Christ Jesus, we bring our prayers of thanksgiving. We give testimony to his handiwork in creation. Indeed, what a beautiful fall we've had. The Lord has painted his creation once again for us in the colors of splendor in the fall season. Then there is the confession of our sins. We acknowledge, not only in the congregation, but in our homes, that we depend on the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank our God for his riches at Christ's expense. We marvel at the tremendous love of the Father, that we may be called children of God. We also bring forth our petitions in which we ask the Lord's continued blessing and caregiving in our lives. Give us this day our daily bread. We intercede for others by asking the Lord to support them, to lead them in the particular circumstances that they face in life. Husbands pray for their wives, and wives pray for their husbands. Parents pray for their children, and children are to pray for their parents. But our prayers do not stop there. The Lord in his mercy has placed us in a church. That is such a blessing. A church which we believe is faithful to his word. A church that may in many ways be built up upon prayer. And in the church of God, the Lord uses preaching as the primary means of grace. And by that we mean to say that the main method and a principal tool, if you would, that our Father in heaven employs to produce faith in his children and to build the church is preaching. And therefore, what the preacher says week by week is extremely important. Brother Vanderploeg will come here as a young man. As it were, he's beginning his ministry journey. And as he stands before you in this place next Sunday afternoon as an ordained minister for the first time, he's not merely filling 20 to 30 minutes of time. He's not merely giving information. He's not seeking to tell a nice story. Rather, he is instructing and exhorting in the things of God. And you and I may never diminish the importance of preaching. How the preacher trembles with the calling and the office he received. When your preacher stands before the Lord next Sunday morning and in the presence of the congregation and declares as I do, I'm sure there will be a sense of fear and trembling, for your minister must answer first of all, not to the congregation or even the elders, but to the Almighty God. And he must clearly understand for himself first what God is saying to him and the congregation as he deals with the word. That word speaks first to his soul. And then that word must be applied according to the needs of the flock and the issues of contemporary life. And at each turn of the way, God's word must speak. In his own strength, he cannot do it. As our text this morning indicates, in many ways, he depends on the prayers of God's people. The Apostle Paul knew his need. We might say in a certain sense that the pulpit here depends on the pew there. And so, congregation, be in prayer for your preacher so that words would be given him. Pray that your minister, the minister of the word, would have a message to give. Pray, as one pastor wrote, for the preacher as he structures his thoughts so that the people will understand him. Pray for your preacher when he is tormented by the knowledge that the needs of those in the pew are so diverse he'll never meet them all. Pray for the preacher on Saturday evening, Sunday morning, and Sunday noon when the awesomeness of the task ties his stomach in knots and lifts his heart to heaven. Pray for the preacher while he ponders about the wisdom of God in selecting jars of clay to do such noble work. And the more you pray, the better his preaching is going to be. As we've come to our text this morning, we've arrived at the final exhortation with which the Apostle Paul addressed the members of the church at Ephesus. It's like a personal postscript. The great teaching of the apostle has, as it were, come to an end. And now he says, remember me. Our text in particular is a call for God's people to pray. And the apostle Paul is asking that he be the beneficiary of their prayers. And we must consider this for a moment as something most remarkable. What a staggering thought that this mighty man of God, this exceptional apostle, this probably the greatest preacher the church has ever known, this incomparable founder of churches should be asking these people to pray for him. The apostle confesses his dependence upon the prayers of others. This man of whom we read elsewhere in the scriptures went to Corinth in weakness and in fear and much trembling. There's no self-confidence in the Apostle Paul. None at all. He knew what he was doing. He knew whom he was representing. He knew the power that was against him. And his one fear was that at some point or another, he may fail his Lord and commander and the army of the living God. And so in trembling, he asked the Ephesian Christians to pray for him. But that's not the only place in Scripture that we find this request. We Think of what we read in Colossians 4, verse 2. He's also given the same plea to the church at Colossae. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Praying for an open door. The apostle does not leave the Ephesian believers any doubt that they are to pray for him. And so, secondly, he asks that he may boldly proclaim. When the apostle wrote these words, he was a prisoner. He does not ask them to pray that he may be set free from the prison, though that may have been in his heart. And undoubtedly, the people of the Lord were considering him in that regard. He was an unhealthy man. There was that thorn in the flesh. He had prayed 3 times that the Lord would take it, but the Lord says, no, you're going to keep it. He doesn't pray that he might be healed. He asked them to pray for boldness. And when we speak of boldness, we are thinking of words like confidence, courage, openness, outspoken frankness. Being bold, the apostle means freely, frankly, that nothing be kept back. We think of that time when Paul gave his farewell address to the Ephesian elders, as we read of it in Acts 20. And he said, in humility, that he had not failed to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. Even when the preacher knows it will get him into trouble, so to speak, do not hold back. Encourage your pastor in boldness. Now, being bold is not just a little button you can press and then all of a sudden manufacture. It can only be given by God. And so, congregation, pray that God may give Brother Zachary boldness. Pray that Brother Campen may go forward in his work with boldness. A moment ago, we made mention of the stresses and the pressures of being a minister of the gospel, but nowhere is the difficulties of being a minister more evident than in the work of the pulpit. A minister deals with the holy word of God, and when a minister speaks, he had better know what he is speaking about. A minister is to preach according to the word of God. He must be faithful. He will be judged more severely than the rest of the congregation. And this in itself can be a fearful thought. And then there is the congregation, a peculiar people, the Apostle Peter writes. God's people come in a variety of stripes. Some people want to hear what they call doctrinal sermons. Others want to hear what they call practical sermons. And some want to hear about the joy of the gospel, but not too much about the responsibility that a Christian has in living out of that joy, in the responsibility of the Christian life. Some want the good news reduced to the easy news. And from a human point of view, it's impossible for a preacher to keep everybody happy. But the point is that he's not standing before you to make you necessarily happy. He's standing here to give the word faithfully, to be faithful to the word. Brother Van der Ploeg is called to minister the word and to do so boldly, to preach the whole counsel of God boldly. To preach the word that speaks to all situations. The gospel ministry of Jesus Christ will be addressed from this pulpit week by week in one form or another. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, will be held forth each Sunday, but it must be held forth boldly. Brother elders, you certainly encourage him in that regard as he takes up the mantle, be it his right and his left that way. The scripture, a two-edged sword, the lamp that lights our path, has been given to us, as the Bible tells us, for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, in order that God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. A preacher does not preach in a vacuum. By that I mean to say the preacher is not isolated from the congregation and the community in which he serves. In many ways, it is safer and easier to preach to a congregation one does not know. I'm a here and there preacher at the moment, and so I come and I go. After all, a come and go preacher does not know the particular circumstances of the congregation and the individual members. How could he? But as your preacher settles in, and as he comes to know you, as he comes to know what moves in the hearts of your souls, the preacher, Brother Vanderploeg, will be led to interpret and apply Scripture in such a way that may apply to a very particular circumstance in the congregation. Now, that's not to say that he'll take the church directory and go down the list and stop it. Oh, here. What can I say at this point about so-and-so or such-and-such? No. But as the Holy Spirit is busy applying God's Word in our lives, there will be times that you think, boy, he's talking exactly about me. He's considering something that I'm dealing with. And this speaks very directly to me. We need to realize together that a preacher would not be a preacher if he had to keep silent on questions concerning truth and life, the obedience of life, concerning family life, concerning marriage, concerning the way of the covenant, concerning God's holy law, concerning the very gospel. If he had to keep silent, after a while he would have very little to say. So, congregation, do pray. I know you do, but pray all the more. Pray for the boldness your preacher needs. Not boldness for the sake of boldness alone, but as we come to our third point, we recall that the apostle had a very particular focus for that boldness, and that namely, the mystery of the gospel, that mystery, that wonder, that glory, that beauty will be proclaimed from this pulpit. There are many words that are shared from the pulpits of our land. Words, words, and more words, sometimes words with little said. There are pulpits that speak words to tickle itchy ears. But the words that God requires of his messengers, his heralds of the truth, are words that proclaim, they're to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, the wonder of the cross. Preaching Christ crucified. Christ humiliated in his ministry. Christ exalted in his glory. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We preach the Lordship of Christ as he is the King of the church. We preach the Lordship of Christ as the devil cannot snatch out of his hand any of his followers. Preaching the Lordship of Christ, for he is Jesus, the one who saves his people from their sins. We preach the Lordship of Christ as he rules the lives of those who follow him. When the apostle makes his request of the Ephesian church, he, He's not then thinking of his personal needs. It's not purely a personal human request that he makes of them. His focus, his driving interest is in one thing, and the thing that has always interested him since he met Christ on the road to Damascus, namely the preaching of the gospel, the good news. The ministry of the gospel had been not yet fully revealed until the coming of Christ. We might say, hidden for many years, but now that Christ had come, the mystery has been revealed, and the good news must be proclaimed boldly, almost here, with bold conviction. What does the town of Dunville need the most? The gospel. The unsearchable riches of Christ. The understanding that we're here preparing for the world to come. And only the Lord Jesus can bring us to that world. The Apostle Paul desires that Christians pray for the preaching of the gospel, for the spread of the kingdom, and congregation, commit yourself to that task. Commit yourself to the task of asking that the Lord would grant his preachers, and in particular now Brother Vanderploeg, the power of speech, the freedom of utterance, that he is called to preach from this pulpit. We may forget that the Apostle Paul himself was not a natural speaker. Certain people at Corinth had taunted the Apostle, saying, as we read elsewhere, his presence is weak, his speech is contemptible. What kind of preacher is he anyways? Apollos, why he's an orator. Paul was not, and so he urged these Christians at Ephesus, also as we heard in Colossae, to pray that he would have the words for the open door, the words for the mystery, that he would have the liberty to speak, the tongue unloosed, that his lips would be made mobile, that he would speak with freedom. As Martin Lloyd-Jones once remarked, it is most interesting to note that the mighty man of God, realizing his own deficiencies and imperfections, pleads with these Ephesians to pray for him that he may be able to speak freely, fluently, without halting, without stumbling. And so, brothers and sisters, it's been my privilege to be with you a few times, and that will come to a close. But pray for your preacher. That's my exhortation to you. That you be given words to preach, not just any words, but words that are understandable by old and young alike. Words that will be formed by the gospel message. Words that will go forth with boldness. Words that do not simply seek to please men. Rather, we need to pray that we would be delivered from a spirit of compromise, and that the truth would always come first, that the wonder of the mystery of Christ and his ministry, his teaching, his sacrifice, his love, the grace of God, the covenant promise, the truth must come first, the truth that sets us free, and the truth that saves us in Christ eternally. So may the Lord God in heaven above be witness to your prayers, praying in the assurance that God does hear humble prayer, and that he is pleased to respond to the prayers of his people. Let us thank him for that. Amen.